Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scriptures today take us from the heights of Pharisaical pride down to the deepest depths of humility. And then back up again to a righteousness that remains rooted in humility. We speak about humility because Jesus concludes the gospel today with these words: "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." To exalt is just to lift up, and to humble is to bring down low. Humility is an attitude of the heart, an attitude of bringing yourself down low in how you think of yourself. And it shows itself in a person's demeanor, a person's speech, and a person's actions. Now, humbling, Jesus says, is going to happen to everyone. Everyone is going to be humbled and brought down low. The only question is, who is going to do it? Will it be you who lower yourself down, or will God do it to you? There are different kinds of humility, but there are really only two kinds of humility that are approved by God. And he speaks of both in the scriptures. The first kind of humility is for those who really are higher than others in some way. They're higher in office. They're stronger. They're smarter or more knowledgeable in something than other people. Richer, nobler, more important somehow. Humility doesn't mean denying those things. To pretend that everyone is equal in gifts and abilities and responsibilities is to deny reality. Humility means that in spite of their higher position or their greater accomplishments, those who are higher don't look down condescendingly at those who are lower. They don't brag about themselves or how high they are. They don't demand better treatment. In fact, they gladly serve the people who are in the lowest place. This is the humility of Jesus, who, without any question, is higher than anyone or anything in all creation. And yet, he lowered himself down to the lowest servant level, even serving to the point of dying on a cross for those who are at the lowest level. That's a humility that we Christians are called upon to imitate. And Jesus' parable of the ambitious wedding guest, if you recall, highlights that kind of humility. But today's gospel highlights the other kind of humility. The kind of humility that Jesus himself couldn't show because it's the humility that's only for sinners. And it's for sinners of all kinds. And it's especially for those who have been fooling themselves into thinking that they're higher than other people, when in reality they aren't higher than anyone. They're just as low as everyone else is. Because, as Paul writes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Paul reminds everyone, Jews, Gentiles, and everyone who fits into any category in between, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That's how God sees the human race according to the strict judgment of His holy law. Those words apply to the Pharisee as well as to the tax collector. The only difference is that the tax collector knows it, and it weighs heavily on his heart, as it should. Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector to, it says, those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's the opposite of humility. That's what it means to exalt yourself, to deny the reality of your sin and your utter neediness before God. And then, thinking that you're higher and better than your neighbor, to look down on him and despise him. We call it a self-righteous attitude, and it damns people to hell. So Jesus painted the picture of the self-righteous Pharisee to shame the self-righteous, to lead the self-righteous to humble themselves before it's too late, before God does the humbling. There stands the Pharisee in the temple in Jesus' parable, daring to brag to God about how righteous he is, daring to remind God how much more righteous he is than those other people, even this tax collector who's praying over here in the corner. And then there's the tax collector praying over there in the corner, standing afar off, penitent, beating his breast, confessing his sins, seeking nothing but mercy from God. From man's perspective, the Pharisee actually has every reason to brag, and the tax collector has every reason to be ashamed. But here, Jesus reveals God's perspective. Both men are sinners, but only one of them, the tax collector who humbled himself before God, goes home justified before God, forgiven by God, and declared to be righteous in God's sight. He humbled himself by admitting the reality and mourning over it. And so God exalted him, whereas the Pharisee who exalted himself is humbled by God. And if God humbles you, who is left to lift you up? So proud self-righteousness is condemned by Jesus, and humility is praised. The humility of recognizing before God, we really are all the same when it comes to our sinfulness and our need for His mercy. One may commit more sins than another outwardly, but it's like the difference between a person who is dying of internal injuries versus a person who is dying of internal and external injuries. In the end, is there really a difference? Now, recognizing that you are just as unrighteous before God as everyone else is the beginning of humility. But it isn't yet righteousness. True righteousness also includes the humility of not trying to save yourself, not thinking you're capable and good enough to maybe earn God's favor. Instead, humility is trusting in God to do it all as He says He must and will, crying out to Him for charity, for mercy, for grace. But you can't do that without a promise of charity, a promise of mercy, a promise of grace from God. And you have that promise. In the true temple of God, at the real altar of sacrifice. That's what the tax collector was looking to in Jesus' parable. That's what was in the middle of the temple, the altar of sacrifice and the seat of mercy. Well, the true altar of sacrifice and the seat of mercy is Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. There, God has heaped up all the sins of every sinner and punished Christ for them. And here, in the gospel, is where you have God's promise that all who humble themselves, that is, all who lower themselves to acknowledge their sins and who look to Christ for mercy, will most surely find it. The tax collector found it. He went down to his house justified, Jesus says, exalted, lifted up to the status of a righteous man before God. And so will you, if you humble yourselves. And it's not a one-time humbling. It's the daily repentance that characterizes the Christian life. But then humility doesn't mean staying off in a corner somewhere, spending your life beating your breast in sorrow for what a sinner you are. God, Jesus says, exalts the humble, lifts up the humble, first with justification and forgiveness so that you can rejoice before God because your sins are forgiven and He now views you by faith in Christ as a righteous person. But then, also with opportunities to put righteousness into practice, to do works that God actually considers good, because first you were made good through faith in Christ. Now, what great things can be accomplished by such people whose righteousness is rooted in humility? Look at King David. You heard his song in 2 Samuel chapter 22 today in the first lesson. That was David's psalm. From his slaying of the giant Goliath to his victories over the Philistines for the people of Israel to his uniting of the kingdom of Israel, the 12 tribes under one kingdom, David accomplished great things for the kingdom of God. And when it came to his dealings with Saul, which we hear about in 1 and 2 Samuel, David really could say what you heard him say in the first lesson today, "I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity." In his deeds that united the kingdom of Israel, he was blameless. But this is the same David in 2 Samuel chapter 22 who, back in 2 Samuel chapter 11, slept with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. It's the same David who confessed in Psalm 51, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." That David, a few chapters later, could say, "I was blameless in your sight." Why? First, because he humbled himself when God sent his prophet to him and lowered himself down and confessed his sin. And God justified him. God forgave him. God counted him blameless. But in that humility in which he received forgiveness, he then went forth and continued to serve God and continued to serve his neighbor, trusting not in himself, but trusting in the one who had lifted him up. The Apostle Paul did the same thing. He was a murderer, a persecutor of the church, but Jesus warned him to humble himself, and he did, and he was forgiven. And as he remarked in today's epistle, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." That is, an apostle who had been spreading the gospel throughout the world. And he says, "His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Once God had exalted Paul in forgiveness, God also exalted him by giving him ways to serve. And Paul went forth in that grace from then on to serve God with his whole life, recognizing his own hard work, recognizing his own achievements, and yet always in humility, giving God all the glory for anything that he was able to do. This is what righteousness rooted in humility looks like. First, the tax collector, who comes before God with nothing but a confession of his sin and a cry for mercy. Then the righteousness of God's free justification and free forgiveness for the sake of Christ. Then the righteousness of the forgiven sinner who has already humbled himself and lives in that humility, but also exalted in forgiveness. Now serving God, now doing good to his neighbor. Now you do that because now you see your neighbor no longer as someone who is beneath you, worse than you, but as someone who is right down there in the depths of sin together with you, who is just as sinful and deserving of God's condemnation as you are. Now you see your neighbor not as someone to despise, but as someone to love, as someone to serve, even as Christ loved you and came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. May we all humble ourselves in this way. Then God will be the one not to humble you, but to lift you up in due time. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.